Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our continuing study of Philippians chapter 3, covering verses 4 through 7. This message is titled, Loss for Christ. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com. That's bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study of Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, titled, Loss for Christ. This is part 1 of 2.
Our continuing verse-by-verse study, and we're going to just title this, Loss for Christ. Mainly give a title just so we can keep track of these things as we study. We go through the Psalms, and we do a Psalm every once in a while, and I have a few people get on to me the fact I don't title them. And I said, well, they're already titled. They're Psalms. Next one's going to be Psalm 11. But going verse by verse, pick out something that's kind of a main theme of what we're studying. And that may seem like a funny title for a Bible study, Loss for Christ. But it's biblical, we'll see. And Paul is our example. The Christian life is about losing. Come on. You may not believe me yet, but we'll get there. The Christian life is about losing. I didn't say it was only about losing. Some of you are getting a little depressed there. I didn't say it was only about losing. It's like, you know what? It's like when I preach a message and I get on the, if I get on the women, then a lot of the women will say, well, you didn't say anything about the men. I said, well, come back next week. Always got to balance, you know. Well, verse 4, we are picking up where we left off, that Paul had told us that we should rejoice in the Lord in verse 1. And he was reminding us of things that he actually already taught them. And right in the middle of this, telling them to rejoice in the Lord and be reminded of these things, he immediately says, beware, beware, beware. And then he turns back to giving you a picture of what you are compared to what we're not. And then he picks up now in verse 4 on that thought, because he had said in verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. And we're not the circumcision of the flesh, we're the circumcision of the Spirit. And, the reason the world, the unsaved world, finds it so hard to do right is because they're not circumcised in the Spirit. And they're still so attached to their flesh. And that's why it's so wrong when you see a Christian who lives so attached to the flesh. Because you're supposed to already been circumcised in the Spirit from your flesh. And so that's why we're not being a good witness. No matter what you say, you can preach the gospel, but if the world sees you are all about you and all about filling your needs and doing everything you want to do in life instead of thinking about what the Lord wants, you're being a bad witness. Amen. Now, let's go ahead and read verse 4, where Paul now makes it personal. Read it with me. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. So Paul is not boasting. He's honestly proving his point by pointing out that, hey man, we're not supposed to have confidence in the flesh. You hopefully don't think you're going to heaven today because you're a good little church member and go to church when the doors are open and give your tithes and your offerings and you give your time and you help people and you try to serve the Lord and you pray and you read your Bible and all that. Good, good, good. As long as you don't think that has anything to do with you going to heaven, that's good. Because all those things are things, and you say, well, that's not in the flesh. Oh, yeah, there's flesh involved there. That's why you don't do them a lot of times, because you can't get your flesh in line. Praying, a lot of times it's the flesh that will keep you from praying. Bible study, oh, I'm just so tired. In your spirit? No, it's your flesh. See? So we shouldn't have confidence in our flesh for salvation. And Paul says, if anybody could, it's me. That sounds a little boastful, doesn't it? But he's telling the truth. And I'm just defending Paul here. You have to spell things out for people. This is at IKEA, and that's 50 cents per hot dog. But they figured someone might get a little confused, so they put on their sign, not actual size. So you can just picture somebody walking up there and say, I want one of them 50 cent hot dogs, and the hand turns, and no, I don't want that. I want one like that one up there. Burnish sports. No, that's serious. The LOL is to be funny that was added. So Paul is simply laying out the facts, because you ever notice a lot of times in the Bible it's clear that God doesn't take for granted that you have common sense. You ever notice that? Mm-hmm. There are times you read the Bible and it's like, you know, that's pretty, you know, I think most people would know that. No, you can't take. And I'm telling you that because if God does that with you and me, that means we need to do that with people when we talk to them. Don't take anything for granted. It's like you talk to somebody and you say, are you saved? Oh, yes, I'm saved. Oh, good. Praise the Lord. You're my brother. You better find out what they mean by that. You know, one way of people will witness and they'll say, have you received Jesus? Well, if you're talking to a Roman Catholic, they're taught that they receive Jesus when they eat the little wafer. So you better make sure they understand what you mean. That's why I don't like saying receive Jesus. Have you? I ask them, have you been born again by faith in the gospel? And that's a good place to start. And then ask them, you know, if you have time, ask them, what is the gospel? Because you'll get a lot of wrong answers to that question. Don't take anything for granted. That's what's happening here as we read. And Paul's not taking anything for granted, and he's laying it out. He says, hey man, if anybody could have confidence in the flesh, it's me. Look at verse 5. He gives you his credentials. Circumcised the eighth day. You know what that means? Now, listen, that wasn't Paul. He was 8 days old. That was his parents. See? He says, man, I've been on the right track since the beginning. Even my parents put me on the right track before I could even think. He wasn't 8 days old. Say, hey, Mom, time to get me down to the temple. I need circumcised. No, he had good parents. Thank God for good parents. Amen. But you can be raised to know everything in the Bible, raised in a church that preaches the gospel, and still go to hell. Look what it says. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. Yeah. He was born into the stock of Israel. Of the tribe of Benjamin. And Hebrew of the Hebrews. He's one of those guys that got perfect attendance for Sunday school attendance every year. I got to tell you, I know a guy who went, and I think it was 15 years or something like that. Never missed Sunday school from the time he was a little boy. I think it started when he was 6 or 7 years old. They started, and he went 15, maybe even 20 years. It was some long time. He never missed Sunday school. He'd be sick and still go to Sunday school, which we do not recommend. He was lost. I witnessed to him and talked to him about the gospel. He wasn't saved. Put no confidence in the flesh. The fact you could get yourself out of bed and go to Sunday school every week does not save you. Amen? And I can't come up with everything. People think they're saved by being water baptized. You can be water baptized every day of your life. You'll just get pickled. You won't get saved. Amen? Amen? What else do people think? Being a member of a certain church or denomination doesn't save you. You could be, and Paul's saying here, man, I was a Jew of the Jews. He was a serious observant Jew. Now, I don't want to sound anti-Semitic, but it's a fact that most Jews today, and I mean most, I mean like 90%, are not really observant Jews. You talk to most Jews today, they might go to a temple or a synagogue, but they don't really follow any effort of following the true Judaism from the Bible. And listen, again, might sound a little anti-Semitic, but there is not a single observant Jew on the planet today. They don't have a temple. They don't have a priesthood. They can't slice the throat of a lamb on Passover. You go to a Passover Seder today, it's not biblical. That includes the Messianic Christians, the people who say, "Oh, I'm a Jewish Christian, I'm Messianic." They can't keep the Passover Seder. They can't keep anything. You can't be an observant Jew. But Paul, up until the time he got saved, he did it all. He did it right. If I were a Jew, my kryptonite would be bacon. Think about what it is to be a Jew and want it. If you're going to follow the law and get to heaven by keeping the law. How many of you know the Seventh-day Adventists, Sabbatarians? You know anybody like that? A few of you. Don't all of you know? All of you know somebody like that? They can't keep the Sabbath. They can't keep the Sabbath. They don't keep the Sabbath. Everybody who gets up, gets dressed, drives a car, and goes in that church, and then goes and drives home, they've broken the Sabbath. And, you know, another way they don't keep the Sabbath is somebody who breaks the Sabbath, which is pretty much the whole congregation, ought to be stoned to death. Now, why is it you get to choose not to follow that part of the Sabbath law? It's all or nothing, brother. You talk to these people who think they're going to get to heaven by keeping the law, it's all or nothing. They can't do it. They don't even have the temple or the priesthood to do it. Paul did. And he didn't have a problem with bacon either. Amen? Evidently. So verse 6 then says, read that with me, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. You hear people these days say, well, how can you support Israel over there in the land if you're a Christian over there and you try to preach the gospel? They'll persecute you. Well, yeah, they're good Jews. What's it say right there in your book? Concerning zeal, he's talking about being a Jew. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. If you're a good Jew, you ought to be persecuting Christians. Amen. So people say, how do you support them over there? I support the nation. I support the Jews. They have a right to their land legally and biblically. It's theirs. Have at it. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, it'd be bad for this country, but every Jew in New York ought to move to Israel. That's their land. And there's coming a day after about two-thirds of them are going to be killed. And it's not Christians that's going to do it. You hear people out there say, well, you Christians, you want to bring on the apocalypse and see. No, it doesn't have anything to do with what we want. The Bible says it's going to happen. Period. And after the Antichrist shows up, the church has disappeared. The Antichrist shows up, they put in the mark, they do all this stuff, and at the end of that 7-year period, after you have the seals and the vials and the trumpets and two-thirds of the world population gone, two-thirds of the Jews are gone, and the third that remain will be saved, according to Romans 11:25. And it says then when Jesus shows up, they're going to celebrate, yay, we're saved by our Messiah. How many of you know that's not true? That last part says when they see Jesus returning, they will look upon Him whom they pierced and they will mourn. They'll mourn. Why? because they had been good Jews right up to that moment. As far as concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching right the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. In other words, Paul was the best of the best as a Jew. And if anybody had grounds for putting confidence in the flesh, it would have been Paul. And he put no confidence in the flesh. He could wear the t-shirt. It's not bragging if it's the truth. Amen? Yeah. Paul could wear that. And if he's part of this church, he probably would. Come walking in. Preach in it. Oh, by the way, speaking of t-shirts. Did anybody fall out or something? I can explain it to you, but I can't understand it for you. Stephen, come on down. This is for you. We wrapped this and gave it to my dad by mistake. My dad opened it up and he read it and he said, "I don't get it." And I said, "That's because it's that was for Stephen." Happy New Year. It's your size, I believe, too. Yes. What size was it? As big as possible. Doubles for a cover for your car. So what's Paul do? He says, "Well, it looks like I'm going to heaven, but the rest of you are probably going to hell." Amen. Because if anybody had grounds for putting trust and confidence in the flesh, it's me. The rest of you people, you're going to drown in fire. No, that's not what he said. Read verse 7 with me. "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." Folks, that's where it is. There are a lot of people today who are unsaved because they can't give up the flesh. You say, "Well, you're not saved by giving up the flesh." No, you're not saved by giving up the flesh, but you lose all that when you're saved. And people know it. People know it. You know, there's some who call themselves soul winners, and what they'll do is try to talk you out of knowing that so you won't feel as bad about things when you get saved. I'm not kidding you. There are people who sit, they'll stress grace without works and lie to people. And they'll basically sell the gospel like they're selling a sweeper. Yeah. In order to convince you that you don't have to give up anything. You don't have to give up. There's even, that includes sin today. There are people preaching the gospel and they're saying, "You know, there's no repentance of sin. No repentance of sin when it comes to the gospel." And they'll define, some will even say, "Well, there's repentance," but they'll define it as agreeing with God that I'm a sinner. Well, who wouldn't do that? Agreeing with God that I'm a sinner. That's not repentance. That's simply acknowledgement of the facts. Listen, folks, you better be very wary today of what's being preached and what even people will try to convince you to preach. We're in the day of Laodicea. And the church, the true church, is made up of born-again saved people. No one is in the church that shouldn't be in the church. But in churches and in the professing church, as far as nationally and internationally, there are a whole lot of unsaved people. And they are packing the churches full of unsaved people. And they're convincing them that you lose nothing when you get saved. You don't have to worry about sin. And You go out there and look online, folks. There's whole groups now declaring themselves to be gay Christians. Openly practicing homosexuality. There are churches now where you get their what do they call that when they take everybody's picture? Directory. You open up that directory, and about every third or fourth picture is two men or two women. And they're presented as married and members in good standing in that church. Well, that's not the Church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then there's people who say, well, this is nice. I'm not gay, but I can fornicate like the devil and be a part of this. Amen. I like it. And that's, you may not believe it, but that's how the gospel is being perverted today. And people are preaching that stuff. And what you ought to be telling people is, yes, there is an acknowledgement that you're a sinner. But no man can be saved unless the Holy Spirit is drawing that person to be saved. And at that moment when they're being saved, it's the work of God. And He, according to the Bible, gives repentance. And so if anybody tells you they don't preach repentance, or they redefine it, and they don't preach repentance of sin, and then they tell you, well, I didn't repent when I got saved. And I've had people tell me that. I got two choices. You got two choices if that's you. You didn't repent of your sins when you got saved. A, you're either a liar, or B, you weren't saved. Because if the Holy Spirit was the one dealing with you, which is the only way to be saved, you would have been sorry for your sin, and you would have wanted, you would have had just a desire to turn from your sin. No one says you're saved by turning from sins. You're not saved by not sinning. But when you're saved, that's what happens in you. Repentance. And then, once you're saved, if you are living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, you are living a life of repentance. But if you're walking in the flesh, that's a whole different story. You see that difference? I hope you're getting that, because it's a big thing today. That if the gospel that you are preaching, or the church that you're preaching, that you're in is preaching, if that gospel doesn't cause loss for anyone, you're in a false church. Your church is preaching a false gospel. Paul had it all, and then he gave it up. Paul's kind of the equivalent of someone today who is an Ivy League graduate, someone who had all the credentials. Today, for some reason, the big thing is to be a lawyer. That's the big thing, to be a lawyer. To have your law license and to become a lawyer, and then to be made partner. You say, why is that such a big thing? It's what they present on television. The TV shows, the TV movies. Have you noticed that? It's all about law and being a lawyer and everything, and be a politician today. Let me say this. The worst thing you can do for your country is elect a bunch of lawyers. And that's what we do. Go look it up. The people who are on city councils, the people in Congress, the people in the Senate, the people who are ruining America today, lawyers. Yeah, that sounds awful close, don't it? But there are some good lawyers, but they're kind of like good Christians. They're a remnant. A remnant. Whatever you think of today as having it all. Maybe it's being a sports figure like LeBron James in basketball, or I don't keep up with sports, especially pro football anymore. I'm not even sure who's at the top of the game right now, to be honest with you. But whatever it is, used to be Tiger Woods at golf, and now he's not quite there. But whoever it is, that's where Paul was in his world, and he gave it up, not to be saved. You understand that? He didn't give it up to be saved, but because he was saved. See? I guess maybe this might be a little hard for some of you because you're not at the top of the cream of the crop when it comes to everything, so you're not sure this applies to you. It applies to you. Wherever you are in your life, are there things you should be giving up? Not to be saved, but because you are saved. Are you willing to count things as a loss for Christ? Because if you're saved, that should be a no-brainer. If you're saved, that's a no-brainer. And just look around the people who you know won't do that. Professing Christians that you know who don't do that. And look at how miserable they are. You can't hold on to the flesh as last week we ended. With the words in verse 3, rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Why? You can't rejoice in Christ Jesus if you have confidence in the flesh. If you're holding on to the flesh, you're destroying your joy and your walk with the Lord. It's a contradiction. You can't have both ways. Turn over to Titus 3, just a few pages. Titus 3. Everybody always takes verse 5 right out of this and doesn't read it in its context many times. We do that from time to time for time's sake. But verse 5 is in the context of where we see beginning in verse 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Now just take a look at that list there, because that's not supposed to describe you. It's past tense. Sometimes, it says were past tense sometimes. Foolish, disobedient, etc. But, verse 4 begins, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, if you will let that sink in, and you're saved this morning, you're a Christian this morning, you have been made an heir, H-E-I-R, to the hope of eternal life. And some of you are going to waste your lives down here on this stuff. You're going to waste your life on this flesh. What a waste. What a waste. Now, all of us are human, and I'm not saying you never have.